Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your holy word. Thank you so much that you yourself revealed your plans and your words and your commandments. And then you speak to us through the scriptures. Now we are before your holy presence, your holy words. Would you please come and clean our hearts so that we can listen to you, carefully listening to your words and your teachings from the Bible. And bless us. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading is from the book of Ruth, from the Old Testament. We've been looking at the New Testament so many weeks, so I thought it would be good for us to go back to the Old Testament and Book of Ruth. And I've been studying this week, Ruth, and I did finish to study, but I'm thinking that this is a good book for us to study about God's salvation plan. Also how God is working in the life of a woman, or if you will, can say two women here. Chapter 1, I'll be reading chapter 1 from the Pew Bible. Please open your Bibles and read it with me. I will read it to you, Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. There were Ephratites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two Moabites' wives, the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the field of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return, each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you will, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my own, that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say that I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and I should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Where you die, I will die, and where will I be buried? May the Lord do so to me, and the more also, if anything but a death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Amen. Have you ever lost your way when you are driving on a highway or somewhere? You're supposed to go to east, and you find yourself driving toward west or somewhere. And when I was a student at Calvin, I commuted from Detroit to Grand Rapids every week. That was about 320 miles round trip. But because I usually drove at night, I was a student, Friday night, finishing up everything, my paper or school business, and went back to Detroit. The many times I got lost on a highway in Michigan. I lived about 8 years, and I believe most of the years I just lost. I don't know why. Mostly it happened to me whenever I stopped for gas in the middle of highway somewhere. No gas, I stopped for gas. And after pumping gas, I was supposed to take the same highway where I'm going to, like east or west, or Detroit or Grand Rapids. But oftentimes I found myself going to the other direction, the wrong direction. And the problem is that I didn't know, because streets are the same to me, that I was heading toward the wrong direction until I saw any sign like Grand Rapids. Oh no, I'm trying to go to Detroit, but not Grand Rapids. Or says Detroit, oh goodness, I need to go back to Grand Rapids, something like that. You know, many times I think that our life is so much like driving on a highway. Sometimes we miss the exit. Sometimes we drive in a wrong direction. Sometimes we got lost and we don't know where we are. No idea. Now my question is, what would you do if you find yourself driving into the opposite direction? You have to go to this side, this way, but you're driving to that way. I really want to go to Seattle, but I can go to a different direction and try to find Seattle. What would you do if you find yourself driving to a different direction? Turn back. Turn back to the right direction. Now, if you don't turn back, what will happen to you? Now, you will never arrive at the right destination, and you will eventually end up a different place or somewhere you don't want to go. The truth is, the more you drive up on a wrong road or street, the more you away from the right destination. Now, you are simply wasting your lifetime, wasting your time. There is only one simple rule. When you find yourself driving toward a wrong direction, turn around and return to the right direction. That is the best answer. I think that our relationship with God is sometimes or many times or every day like this. Sometimes we see we are drifting away from God. We know it. And going toward a wrong direction because of our sins or our lifestyles. Then what do we have to do? The same answer. We must return to God as soon as possible. Now, in our text today, we will meet three different people. A woman named Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, and their daughter-in-law, Ruth. I pray that by hearing their stories, you will see where you are heading today, toward God or toward somewhere. I pray that you will carefully examine your hearts by hearing these stories. Now, Elimelech's life was not much different than that of other people in Bethlehem, based on our text. He lived in Bethlehem, a small town in Israel. with his two sons and his wife, Naomi. Now, however, when a severe famine hit the land, his life dramatically changed. Geographically, Moab had always more rain than Bethlehem, like a Seattle, more rain, right? But because of that, in the time of the famine in Bethlehem, there was always plenty of food and water, many things in the land of Moab. Now, and Elimelech knew that about all the food and blessings in the land of Moab. He knew that, so he decided to go to Moab. Yeah. Maybe it was the best decision for him to make this decision because he had to take care of his family. But as a father, it wasn't easy for him to watch his children crying every night for food or something like that. So he must have thought, okay, I must do something for my family as a father. Well, to be honest with you, I will seriously think about that. If my kids are starving, dying, I will do something. So logically speaking, it was the best option and decision for him to make to move to the land of Moab and more food, better life. And then why not? Right? Now, however, there was one big problem that we have to think about. Normally, if you were an Israelite living in Israel, you would never think about it. You will never go to the land of Moab to live there. Why? There are at least two significant reasons that we should think about today not to move Moab. First one is physically. Now, Moab had been an Israelite's enemy for so many years. For example, in the days of the judges, the same thing happened in Ruth. In the days of the judges, Eglon, the king of Moab, invaded Israelites' lands and oppressed Israel for 18 years. Can you believe that? 18 years. And they were not just enemies in a modern sense. We say, I don't like you, you're my enemy. Sometimes I talk to my kids, you're my enemy. I think sometimes they are talking to me. It's not about our modern sense, I hate you, I don't like you. But it is, there were real enemies at the time. That means they could kill each other at any time if they don't like, if they disagree. So moving to Moab was not a good choice at all because you're going to put your family in danger. So maybe Elimelech had some good friends living in Moab, or he was a good soldier. He knew how to protect his family. I don't know. But yet moving to Moab, the land of enemy, was not recommended at the time. I asked the same question today at Sunday school class. Would you like to move to Iraq or Afghanistan with your family? Because you just heard that, something is happening there. If you go there, start a business, you can be a millionaire next week. Boom, let's go there. I don't think so. If you hear that something's much better somewhere, would you like to go there to risk your family and your life? But amazingly, Elimelech did it. He took the risk. The second thing we have to think about is spiritually. Not only Moab was the land of enemy, but also it was the hidden land, which means a land of unbelievers. Especially Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 6. This is what God says. No Ammonites or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. God says no, do not contact with them at all. And even to the 10th generation, none of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever. And in our text it says in Deuteronomy 23, verses 4, and 5, and it's kind of historical explanation. Because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, So very beginning of their history. And then because they hired against Balaam, to son of Beor and Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse you. But the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead of the Lord your God had turned the curse into a blessing for you. Because the Lord your God loved you. So God is speaking to the Israelites, that I love you. I really want to take care of you. So please do not mix with these people. I don't want you to go ask them, please help. Okay, we'll be a good friend. No. In verse 6, Deuteronomy 23, you shall not seek their peace or their prosperity all your days forever. No, no, no. I thought about, did Elimelech know about this? Did Elimelech know that God said to the Israelites, don't go there, don't trust them? I'm sure he knew that. He knew that he shouldn't take the wrong direction, that direction. He knew that he shouldn't disobey God. Because no matter how severe the famine was in the land of Israelite, moving to the land of Moab was considered as an act of unfaithful to God. He knew it. He should not trust anything but God. But unfortunately, Elimelech trusted himself. I think this is one of the key points that we're going to talk about today. He trusted himself and faith in himself rather than God and his teaching. He trusted his experience rather than God's voice. So he got a wrong map in his hand. Oh, God, this is my map. I'm going to plan. I'm going to do what I want to do, his map. And he went to the wrong direction. And the interesting thing is that this is how our text describes the conclusion of his decision. It is very disturbing and depressing. I'm going to read it to you. In our text, Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 and 6. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. And she was left with her two sons. What a bad situation. Now, these two Moabites' wives, the name of the one was Opar and the name of the other Ruth. Now, they lived there about 10 years, maybe so far 10 years. They tried to make their lives good. They did their best to make something. Now, verse 5, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, their sons. So that the woman, which is Naomi, was left without her two sons and her husband. Nothing. Started with Elimelech. Okay, we're going to do something in this land. I know God says no, but I will go. Don't worry, follow me. But end up with nothing. By reading this story, Elimelech's story brought me tears in my eyes. Not because it's a sad story, sad ending story, but because I see myself in this story. And oftentimes, think that I trust myself. This is my decision. I know what to do. I trust my experience. Based on my experience, I should do this. I should go that way. I value my thoughts and opinions over God's words and his teaching. Don't you think that we are like a modern Elimelech? We see that our life in this world is just like the life of Elimelech in the Bible. We simply pick a wrong map that we design, not the map that God wants you to have, but the map that we wanted to have. The map that we designed for better life, better church, better country, better. Holding our own maps in our hands and sitting in the driver's seat and say to God like this, God, don't worry. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I know what to do. I know how to drive. I think Elimelech said the exactly same thing to God. God, don't worry. There's no food. I know how to take care of it. I'll be fine. Sometimes when God tries to speak to us, we are so quick to respond and saying like this, God, this is my life. I can handle it. Would you just sit there next to me or behind? I know this is my best way. If I need your help, I'll call you. I think Elimelech forgot something. Life is meaningless without God. I believe that the same is true for you and me. Our life is meaningless without Christ. Not thinking about money and food, benefits and better life. We must think about God and Christ first. That is what we see from the life of Elimelech. But unfortunately, we know that this is not the case. It is not the case. Like Elimelech, we always put ourselves first and say God next. We want to go first and ask God follow us, support us. Still, we are holding the wrong map that we designed, made by James Kim, or your name there, in our hands, going to a wrong direction. About 2 months ago, we had a family retreat at Bear Power Family Retreat Center. 2 months ago. And it was my first time attending, so I needed a good direction, a map, to get to the place. And Kathy gave me a paper map, the little tiny paper map. Said, asked me, James, you know how to get there, right? Yeah, sure, I said that. The map to direction to the Bear Power Retreat Center. However, this is my story. However, I decided not to look at the map that Kathy gave me. So I just put it in my office. Because I trusted my iPhone app. iPhone is awesome. So it seemed my iPhone was fine, just one way to somewhere north side, until I arrived in a city named Newport. Now, as soon as I arrived in Newport, my iPhone app, which is not exactly iPhone, but application in iPhone, began acting weird, and it drove me crazy. So it kept telling me, turn left, right, turn left, turn right. Turn left, turn right, for 20 minutes, and then I found myself just circulating the town over and over. Oh, I went here before. Oh, the same place. What happening? So I retyped the address, and then my iPhone brought me to Idaho. And I saw the Idaho sign. Oh, what's going on? Our retreat place is in Idaho. So I thought it was wrong, so I felt something's not right, so I drove back to Newport, thinking that, what am I supposed to do? I'm going back to Spokane, yeah, maybe. So it was about 10:30 p.m. No one was out there, it's really dark. I didn't know what to do, then Pastor Perry called me and explained me how to get there, Bear Power Retreat Center. And everybody was laughing at me. And I still remember what Kathy told me when I get there. James, I gave you the right map! Elimelech had a wrong map in his hand. He didn't know that. Maybe he knew it. So did I. Let's move to the history of Naomi and Ruth now. When Elimelech decided to go to Moab, there was no choice for Naomi. She didn't like it. She didn't want to move. By carefully reading our text today, Ruth 1, 2, 3, 4, we see that Ruth had her faith in God. But anyway, she just followed her husband's decision. Probably she prayed for God's mercy and grace upon her family in Moab. Now, she came to Moab, which is a foreign land. Totally, she doesn't know anybody. And the land of enemy. And it's a pagan country. Now, simply she trusted her husband. And trusting God. And she had a hope in Moab probably will be better. Now, but yet her life in Moab become out of control because her husband Elimelech died. Can you think about that situation? You trusted your husband, moved to somewhere, and your husband died. I thought about myself. We came to the United States so many years ago with Jenny, and we didn't have kids at that time. But suddenly I just died. What Jenny will do? Maybe Jenny will go to Calvin Seminary and do it again, what I did, and she'll become a pastor. Oh, no, it's impossible, right? So Naomi's story did not end here. Not only her husband, but two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died without children. Now, I don't know how to describe a woman who lost everything, her husband and two sons, but this is what she said. She said, I went away full. I had everything. I thought I had God's blessing too, but the Lord has brought me back empty. There was no more protection, no more hope. There's no more bright future at all in a foreign land. Interestingly, Naomi said she must have felt emptiness in her heart. She must have had hope, but now her life turned out to be hopeless. She must have been severely depressed. I cannot imagine about her depressed. And she must have cried every night. Maybe she asked God to take away her life. She didn't want to live anymore. Please, God, take my life away. There is no reason for me to stay to live here without my husband, my kids. She didn't know what to do. Maybe she regretted and thought, I should have told him, my wife, my husband, Elimelech, not to move, not to go to Moab. I should have told him, trust God only. Maybe she regretted. I came to Moab with everything, but I don't have anything now. I'm pretty sure she said, God, where are you? I'm sure sometimes our life becomes like Naomi. We start with hope. Lots of things in our hands. People are supporting us. Bright future laying down before us. But sometimes we ended up with hopeless, emptiness, depressed. We lost everything. What we have, business and money, friends and family relations, or everything, even our faith in God. Nothing remains. We feel depressed and discouraged. Maybe sometimes we feel that there is no reason for me to live, to stay in this world. Then we will say, God, where are you? Same question. Now my question is, what shall we do if we face this type of situation? Our text gives us the answer for our question, which is verse 6. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law, returned from the country of Moab. Because she had heard in the field of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. There you go. There was no hope, no future, nothing in her hands. But she felt emptiness in her life, no reason to live. But here, Naomi heard about God again. Not just only God, God's blessing in her own country. Now, the news about God, what God is doing to her country, it turned her life completely upside down.
She had no hope, no vision, nothing. But all of a sudden, when a stranger, she heard about God, she thought, yeah, there you go. She must have felt that, yeah, all of my memories about God, all He has done good things, His love, everything, she flashed back to her memory, like a new movie. You watch a movie, something happening before. All things are putting together. Naomi must have thought, I thought I lost everything. My husband and my kid. I thought I don't have anything right now. But I know God is my hope. Therefore, I need to return to God. Returning to God was a life-changing decision for Naomi. And I believe that it was the right decision she made. I'm sure that Naomi must have felt that finally I have the right map in my hands. But think about Ruth. It was a crazy idea for Naomi's daughters-in-law. Because they were not the Israelites women, they were the Moabites. We read, God says, do not bring any Moabite people in this country, into my people. No way. Now, I believe that Naomi knew that her daughters-in-law should remain in their country, not moving with Naomi. So she urged, she tried a couple of times, she urged her daughters-in-law to go back to their gods and people. This is very interesting text. Naomi asked them, okay, you don't have to go with me, but you return to your gods and your people. Just go back to your people. Eventually, one of her daughters-in-law, Orpah, decided to go back to her gods and her own family and people. But here a problem comes. Another daughter-in-law named Ruth refused to go back to her family in Moab. Now, our text says, then they lift up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. No matter what, Ruth did not want to leave Naomi behind and alone. She wanted to return to Israelite with Naomi. It's very interesting to read the word return happening here in chapter 1 a lot of times, about 10 times. It is right to say that, hey, Naomi, you return to God. It's right, right? Because she was the believer. But it's not right to say Ruth returned to God. It's not right because Ruth didn't know God before. But our text kept saying that Ruth returned to God. So right at once, you and me to see not our eyes, through God's eyes. Through God's eyes, God wants people are returning to Him. That's why our text says return to God, return to God. Ruth, she didn't want to change her mind. And the following conversation between Ruth and Naomi is literally surprising. Ruth chapter 1 verses 15 and 17. I love these verses. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. So return after your sister-in-law. Just go. But Ruth said, do not urge me, Mom. Mom, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. And this is punch. She said, and your God is my God. Please, I will go with you. Therefore, where you die, and I will die, and there will be I buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from God. Based on Ruth, her wording,
Moabite's people never used the Lord, which is Yahweh in the Bible. They never used that word. But Naomi and Ruth said, may the Lord. She met God. She knew God. That's why she said, your God is my God. We just read one of the most powerful faith statements from the Bible, I believe. Ruth was a Gentile woman. She's not in the part of covenant community. It would be much easier for her to return to her own gods and people. That's easier. But she'd rather choose to be with God, the God of Israel. And she said, your God is my God. She didn't want to go back to her own people. Not because she felt sorry for Naomi or something else. No. Ruth decided to go with Naomi and return to the land of Judah because her faith in God. I thought about things. If I were a brother of Ruth, maybe she had many brothers, and I would never allow my sister to go to a foreign country and land in the land of enemy. No. And I would say, hey, Ruth, are you crazy? You're out of mind? Think about it. Wake up. Did you realize what happened to your mother-in-law here? She lost everything. Now, I see that the same thing will happen to you if you move. I don't want to lose you. Please don't go. I will not let you go. But no one was able to stop her. No one could change her mind because of her faith in God, the Lord of Israel. So both Naomi and Ruth finally returned to the land of Judah. They finally returned to God. And the interesting part is, we're not going to look at it right now, but the chapter 4 is describing what happened to us. Ruth became the mother of Obed, the grandfather of David the king. Isn't it awesome to read this passage? She was outside of the covenant, but she found God and she thought, okay, I'm going to go with my mom. Because of that, her faith, eventually, her name is in Jesus' history, the family history, genealogy. She became the grandmother of Obed, which is the grandfather of David king, the grandmother of David, King David. The book of Ruth begins with a story of a man who was holding a raw map in his hands. I brought a map just like this. This is my life. I planned everything. All my plans are here, God. I'll go with my plans. Wrong maybe it is in. But story ends up with a fascinating story of two women holding God's covenant, God's promise. We will say the right man in their hands like this. And I see that literally two different pictures. Sometimes we're holding our own map, say, God, this is my business. I want to do everything my own way. It's happening every day. But someone who knows about God, like Naomi and Ruth, Naomi had a bad experience because her husband was holding the wrong map. When she heard about God in her land, she returned. I am pretty sure, 100% sure, 1,000% sure that you and me, we will meet the same situation or many similar situations like Elimelech had. And my question is, what is your choice? Do you want to choose God and His way or your own way? Where are you heading today?
I know all of you are at the church and worshiping God. But to be honest with you, where are you heading today? Your heart is going. Your way or God's way?
Who is sitting on your driver's seat? You or Christ?
Are we still looking for something changing our lives? Something new to our lives?
But yet we still feel emptiness and hopelessness in our heart.
We strongly feel that something is not right, something is missing here, but we don't know why. We can't find why. Then learn from Naomi and Ruth. Return to Christ. Return to God. Don't go anywhere that you can handle your life by yourself. Do not waste your time, your life anymore. But put yourself underneath God and follow His step. In Christ first. Bring yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Return to God. This is one of fascinating verse from the Bible. This is what Jesus said. I am the way. I'm the true map. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to Father except through me. Nothing else. But today we have to remember one thing. Wherever you go, please remember this one. Return to Christ. That is one of the teachings from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, based on Naomi and Ruth. Time to return to Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for telling us this wonderful story of faith. Based on Naomi and Ruth and their wise decision to choose you, to follow you, return to you. We really want to examine our hearts today. Maybe superficially we think that we are returning to you every day, but we know that we are not. Rather, we are going to some different directions that we designed, that we want for better life, even better church, better family. Thank you for speaking to us today. And help us so that we can return to you every day, every moment, every second. Bring our life and hearts to you, Jesus Christ. Nothing but Christ. We pray, your Son, in Jesus' name.